Now, over the last few decades, the cost of college has skyrocketed. More students than ever before are taking out both federal and private loans to pay for their schooling, or they're looking for grants and scholarships to help defray the costs.
New legislation being proposed in the nation's capital aims to bolster the federal Pell Grant program, which an estimated 9 million students nationwide rely on to pay for a portion of their higher education.
Representative Ron Kine joins us now. He represents Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. He's proposing the Pell Grant Funding Act. Representative Kind, welcome to Central Time.
My pleasure.
Tell us about this legislation you're sponsoring on the Pell Grant.
You know, I've introduced a Higher Education Action Plan. We have a higher education bill that's coming up for reauthorization. This is a wonderful opportunity for us to look into higher education policy. How do we make it easier for high school students to start developing career paths, whether it's through internships, apprenticeships? How do we make it easy for them to transition to higher education programs for them? And part of that is making sure it's affordable. And that's where the Pell Grant comes in. Pell Grant is something that's given to the students to help them pay for their educational expenses. I was a direct recipient of Pell Grant when I went to school. I was first generation in my family to go on to college. I also did work study on campus, cleaning bathrooms for 4 years. I also had to take out student loans to help pay for it. We just need to figure out ways of making it easier and more affordable for students to continue to do that so we're not pulling the ladder up from behind us.
So what would change in the way Pell Grants currently work to make those things easier?
One is make it year-round because you have some non-traditional students who want to jump in, they want to jump out, whether it's the local community college or technical school. And if you make it year-round, you start shaping these programs around the needs of the worker or the student themselves, rather than asking them to fit into a certain block. So that seems like a common sense proposal that we should have done a while ago. I also like to see us expand the eligibility of Pell Grants and the amount of the Pell Grant award, because there's been so much emphasis in recent years to put students in greater debt with more loans. And that just puts them in a huge financial hole, just as they're starting out their lives or their career or a family. And it makes it hard for them, quite frankly, to be good consumers then, to buy a car, to buy a home, or to support the local businesses. This is a big challenge that we face with $1.3 trillion worth of student debt out there today. I don't want that to be the next economic bubble that bursts and takes our economy down.
As I understand it, especially after some changes in 2011, currently Pell Grants, they're really targeted toward what we think of as the traditional undergrad, the person just out of high school, and they're going to college for 2 semesters out of the year, taking the summers off. Do I have right. that right? That's what we're looking at right now?
Yeah, that's exactly the way it's currently structured in that. And yet I've heard from a lot of the technical schools, 4 of whom are in my congressional district, that the program could be made more flexible and easier for students who want to come in during a certain finite period of time for a certain job program or education program, and then get back out again so that they're not incurring more debt in the process. So more flexibility, listening to the needs of the students and our educators, finding out what's working and what isn't. That's the type of approach that I'm taking.
And you're also hoping to provide flexibility if that student, maybe that more traditional student, wants to not stop at 2 semesters. They want to cram in those summer classes, too, and maybe get done faster.
Yeah, and there's been a real emphasis, I know, in Wisconsin, throughout the university system with tech schools, to make it easier for students to get in, to get what they need, the job skill, in order for the job placement to work or the education degree, and then get them out right away so that they're not lingering or having to stick around for an additional semester, which oftentimes leads to more loans having to be taken out in that financial hole that I was just talking about.
I've been looking at overall funding for the Pell Grants. Looks like it peaked in 2010. It's gone down, and there are fewer people using it since then, maybe because of those changes in eligibility. But if we compare it to about 10 years ago, we're still at a pretty consistent level. So where would you see new funding for this come from?
Well, you got to find an offset, and I've been a big believer in pay-as-you-go budgeting. If you're going to increase funding somewhere, finding an offset somewhere else, and there's plenty of areas in the federal budget that we can scrub and find savings in. I mean, my goodness, the Defense Department, for instance, is unauditable, given how bad the financial books are over there. We're still spending billions of dollars in outdated weapons systems that were maybe appropriate during the height of the Cold War against the Soviet Union, but they're not needed for the type of asymmetrical threat that we face from terrorism today. And the Pentagon, leaders themselves tell us this, and they tell Congress every year with a list of weapons programs they submit, get rid of it. We don't need it. It doesn't help with force readiness or what our troops need in the field. And yet every year, Congress finds money to appropriate for these weapons systems. We've got to be smarter in the limited resources that we have available. And I'm a big believer in investing in the next generation so that they can be successful in a competitive global economy.
Talking to Congressman Ron Kind about Pell Grants and other efforts to change to make college more affordable. And I want to get into some other things. The Pell Grant is just part of what you're hoping to accomplish, as I understand it. In a statement recently, you said government shouldn't profit from student loans. You're looking to see some money that is coming in from student loan interest, I guess, toward Pell Grants
right.
and other programs?
Yeah, right now, you know, interest rates on student loans were adjusted a couple of years ago. I oppose that because it exceeded the amount that we needed to raise to pay for the student loan program, which makes no sense because we could peg the interest rate on what it would take to cover the cost of administrating the student loan program. These students are the last group that we ought to be looking to raise money off from to use for other government programs or operations. And yet that's the way the current loan program works. We could be saving them thousands of dollars throughout the life of their loan if we were to adjust that down to just cover the cost so we can hold the program harmless. And again, it's just a very simple a fix that can be made that wouldn't cost us a whole lot, but would make a big difference in these student lives.
And then you also talk about refinancing, allowing students to refinance student loans.
Yeah, another simple, you know, based on home mortgages. You can consolidate the loans, refinance at a lower level. We allow it for homeowners to do. Why aren't we allowing this for students, too? And I'd go even further with the interest rate. I'd charge the students the same interest rate that the big banks on Wall Street are borrowing on, which is at rock-bottom rates right now. And I think if it's good enough for the big banks on Wall Street, it should be good enough for our student population out there.
And then taxes, our tax system is likely to change in the near future with the new administration and the Republican majority in Congress. You're hoping to use the tax system to create incentives to tackle college affordability.
I do, and I call for increased deductibility of student interest loan burdens so that you can write that off more. And in fact, an above-the-line deduction, so if you don't have a whole lot of taxable income but still are paying these student loans, that you'd qualify for tax credits in doing that. So some creative ways, too, that we're trying to alleviate the financial pressures that's building on our students today. I think it's paramount because the jobs of the future are going to put a premium on higher education skills, job training skills. We can't afford to be leaving anyone behind right now.
Anything else you could see out there that might help deal with college and technical college affordability issues?
Yeah, I'd like to see my home state in Wisconsin start stepping up and restoring the budget cuts that have happened throughout the years to the university system, to the technical school system, because it's really put us in a hole. Competition-wise, we're losing some of our best academic researchers to neighboring states because of the way they're being treated right now. And it's just sending this awful message to the educators that we need to educate our students that they're not welcome, that they're not valued. And states have a responsibility, too. This all doesn't rest on the federal government. We need a strong partnership to support the education programs, which will ultimately benefit the state's economy if we do it right.
Part of the problem with student debt is the rising cost of college. It takes a lot of money to go to school, university or technical college in many cases for that matter. Are there things that you see needed to cut costs to make it cheaper for students to go to school?
Yeah, Rob, that's a fair question. I've got 6 of the 11 state universities in my congressional district. I'm always asking that question with the administrators, the leaders of these universities. What more can we be doing efficiency-wise in order to make sure that these students are getting a good, valuable, quality education? So, you know, the ledger is always two sides. One is how you pay for it. The other is how can you reduce and streamline costs to make it more competitive, to make it more efficient for students. And I know our universities in Wisconsin have been working long and hard at that. Many of them have been instituting new energy programs that have drastically reduced the cost of energy on these campuses with the number of buildings that are in play. You know, we just need to be thinking out of the box of how we can deliver a more affordable yet quality education for our kids.
You've got these ideas, this legislation on Pell Grants and other college affordability issues. Your party is in the minority in both houses of Congress. Do you see room for bipartisan cooperation?
I sure hope so, because when it comes to the future success of all our children, this should be a nonpartisan issue. And there are certain key investments you've got to be willing to make as a nation in light of the competition that we're facing abroad today. And education, access to education programs is at the top of my list. And we've been blessed as a state of having the quality university system that's been developed throughout the years. But there's no guarantee that that reputation is going to continue in the future. And I'd submit, in a lot of ways, it's already been damaged. We're having a hard time recruiting the best and the brightest to come into Wisconsin to teach at our technical schools or at our universities because of the reputation now that Governor Walker has developed our state.
Congressman Kind, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Ron Kind. He represents Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. He joined us to talk about new legislation he's proposing that would help fund the federal Pell Grant program to make college more affordable.